Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. It is Fighters Fury here on The Ticket. Tobin here with you. In the next hour, we'll dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. Last night, Derek Brunson got himself a win. UFC Vegas 5. Feels weird they're numbering these five. Like, you know, there's been a lot of fights in Vegas, but whatever. To each his own. I guess you got to hashtag something. Derek Brunson, middleweight veteran. He really laid it on Edmund Shahbazyan. This was the one of those things where they were feeding him up. Derek Brunson is a guy where, you know, I think he's pretty looked upon as perennial gatekeeper, guy who is tough as nails, been doing it forever. Dangerous as hell, but usually just dangerous as hell for a certain point. I gotta tell you, man, I mean, he's been looking pretty fantastic lately, and he was a damn bulldog because he was mixing it up with Edmund Shahbazyan. Kid could just never get comfortable. Even in the first round, people were like, oh, I thought Edmund got I saw him get the knee kind of out of nowhere, but you could just see it felt like Derek had a good plan to wear him down. And I mean, second round came about and he was bludgeoning him in. I mean, it was a complete wear down by the end of it. And quite frankly, it got to the point at the end of that second round, I was confused. I know the broadcast was confused. Did Herb Dean stop it? Cause Derek ended up on top of him. He hit him with an elbow. Then he started pummeling him with some ground and pound. And it seemed like, he looked out. And then they go to the corner. And you have his coach there, our boy, Coach Edmund, he's back and is like trying to yell around like the cut man, and the doctors are flying in there, but he like hits this stool. And if it wasn't for that cage being there, he would have fallen ass backwards on it, man. Like, he looked in no shape to go out there for that second round. It didn't take much longer. They only let him go out for another 30 seconds. So I think they did a pretty good job of protecting him, but they really shouldn't have even let him go out there. It really was silly because he was in no shape to fight, and Derek Brunson ends up going to get the win. It's tough for Edmund Shahbazyan. You know, it's a couple things. You know, you feel bad for him. He's 22 years old, and you know, he's a guy where he's had some sensational wins in his early going here in the UFC. And so people have a lot of high hopes for him, but it's a big step up, man. You know, I'm always talking about that. They throw these guys and they put them on a situation where they think, oh, this kid can do it. You know, he's been in the UFC and it's been first round knockout, first round submission. Let's put him in there with a guy who's fought champions before. And Derek Brunson, 36 years old, I got to say, it looked like grown man strength against a kid who's still feeling out, you know, the physical world when he's mostly been able to plow through people, and there hasn't been much resistance. This time, you know, he had to go against a force that was giving something back to him, and it was a learning experience. But you know, look, it's UFC, man. Like, you know, it's mixed martial arts, and to have him at 11-0 on this stage, and everybody thinking, you know, if he would have beat Derek Brunson, you know, you're being a top 10 guy. It's not crazy to think if he gets that win, you know, he's lining himself up to get to Stylebender by 2021. It's not crazy to think that way. But it's so young, and you are putting him in this situation where he can get ragdolled a little bit. He can get bullied a little bit. So it's a tough one for him. I do feel like I thought it was garbage that Derek Brunson didn't get a bonus last night. I thought that was pure trash. I mean, he had to be that kind of a guy where people are overlooking you and thinking you're going to go in there. And I'm guilty of it. I thought, like, okay, you know, the kid looks like a stud. I think that, you know, Derek Brunson, once he gets past that first burst, I mean, he should be okay. But not the case, man. Really great performance by Derek Brunson. Shout out to him. And yeah, he's I mean, look, he's won three straight. He's a top 10 guy. He's back in the mix, baby. He's back. He's rolling. Blonde hair and all. Jennifer Maya got a win over Joanne Calderwood, won by armbar. Armbars are never not gross to look at. But Jennifer Maya, she got Joanne. And now it looks like you had Valentina Shevchenko. She was calling her out afterwards. So it seems like we have ourselves a matchup for the Bullet. I will say, you know, we got two reigning champs right now at 125 and 135, I guess, slash 145 and Amanda Nunes. Valentina doesn't look like she has anybody in her class. Amanda Nunes doesn't look like she has anybody in her class. They're the only ones who look like they're in the class for each other. I'm not saying that they should do that fight again. I don't think that's fair to Amanda. I think that she's I feel very similar to this the way I do to Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway. Even if the fights were close, even if you thought somewhat controversial, they did it twice, and both times one person got their hand raised. I don't think it's crazy to say, hey, can we put that one to bed? So, you know, we'll see if she can pull something out of it. But, I mean, look, Valentina Shevchenko is an absolute savage. So I kind of got to believe it to see on that one. Vicente Luque got a win over Randy Brown. Sick KO, knee KO, and punches to get himself a victory. Really excited. I mean, Vicente Luque comes out there, man. Like, he's got some sick maneuvers to go get wins, man. I mean, he really does. He comes out there and just absolutely bludgeons people with some sassy stuff. And Bobby Green got himself a win over Lando Venata. Dominant win on his part. And so that was your main card recap from UFC Vegas. Shout out to Derek Brunson. It was a good win by him. I don't even know. It'd be interesting to see what's next for him. You know, what direction do they go? He has a loss to Yoel. He's lost to Israel. He's lost to Robert Whittaker. So a lot of those top guys, it's tough to find a good matchup for him as far as where he should go. He should definitely go up. Look, you're talking about he was number 8, beat number 9 pretty soundly. I mean, you know, even with that win, beating a guy who was behind him, I wouldn't say it's out of the realm that he should jump Kelvin Gastelum. I think that's probably, I don't think he should go too far high in the standings. Like, I think it should probably be either Kelvin or Darren. Give Derek a chance to beat one of those guys. I don't think that's either one of them should be too wary of taking, because he's still a guy in the top 10. They kind of have to get right. And then if Derek beats them, look, it's probably hard. A lot of people will probably look at the part of that as hard times for them. You're now losing to Derek Brunson, but Derek Brunson would be then 4 wins in a row. He's beaten, you know, top 10 ranked guys. You know, then he could probably be back in the argument for maybe getting a rematch against Robert Whittaker or Yoel, or you know, maybe get himself in one with the Joker, or get one against Killer Gorilla or something like that, to where he's at the point where he can start contending again. So I think that's probably the best place for him to go, is taking on Darren Till, taking on Kelvin Gastelum. And I think that'd be pretty fantastic for him. I mean, we're looking at a division right now where you have Paulo Costa and Israel Adesanya squared off with one another. Robert Whittaker just had himself an exciting win over Darren Till. A lot of people didn't like that fight. I like that fight a lot. You guys know the way I raved about it last week. I thought that fight was nerve-wracking and thrilling. Cannonier is on the mend. It was revealed this week that he had a torn pec on the Luke Thomas show. So he is ideally looking to come back in the fall. And so the question becomes with him, like, what gets him? Because he's kind of the forgotten man in the middleweight division all the time. And also from the standpoint of, you know, he's a little bit older. And so, you know, I mean, I guess nobody's older than Yoel Romero when it comes to the middleweight division. But, you know, look, this guy is an absolute monster. I mean, he's already beaten the likes of Anderson Silva. He's beaten the likes of Jack Hermanson. And he beat Jack Hermanson in convincing fashion. So, you know, I don't really know what else you do with him other than does he sit by and wait? I guess he could, but it worries me that, like, you know, he's one of those guys where he feels like Cannonier needs to go just get one more where it's like it's absolutely non-deniable for him. You know, so could they end up going and doing Robert Whittaker against Jared Cannonier? I mean, yeah, I think they could. I guess question is, if you're Robert Whittaker, you're a former champ, you just got a win against a top five guy when you did the fight. Why do you want to go fight Jared Cannonier? I guess the only answer would be because we're the UFC and we tell you to. If you're Jared Cannonier, I think you probably do take that fight because, look, you've been slugging it pretty good. You're a big fella who's come down to middleweight and you've been wrecking shop since you got there. You take out the former champ, there's no denying you there. You go and beat him. Who else has a claim at you? Nobody. So middleweight's fun, man. Middleweight has had a nice shot in the arm after I thought it was a little bit lackluster for somewhat. And some of that had to do with, remember, it was, you know, after Michael Bisping's thrilling win and he won the title in thrilling fashion over Rockhold. Yeah, you know, it had some little periods, but I think it's been pretty fantastic between Stylebender, Paulo Costa. Yoel's been in the mix. Yoel's one of my favorite fighters to watch, so those fights are always fun. But even with, you know, Jack being fantastic, Jared Cannonier's great. Now you have Derek Brunson back on the mend. Maybe Edmund Shahbazyan gets back in there, put him in a fight with Uriah Hall. That's an all-time striker matchup, something like that. There's a lot of fun that goes on in this division, and I think that it's good to see. It needed a shot in the arm, and it's back there. I think they've put themselves in a good, good spot. We continue on here on Fighters Fury on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you on a Sunday morning. Hope everybody's staying safe out there and has himself an easy Sunday, man. Crazy out there. I wanted to get to this story. So Teofimo Lopez, who is just an absolute monster, this has been circling the wagon for a while where he was supposed to fight Vasily Lomachenko. It seems like those negotiations have hit a snag and really a crashing halt as far as making this fight happen, which is a huge bummer because, you know, from my standpoint, this was one of the most important fights to happen just because this has been it's such a good division. You know, we've had some of these guys from the lightweight division on recently, Devin Haney, George Kambosos. You know, this is a dynamic division, and a lot of these guys are really, really young. And one of the things that is, you know, encouraging is it seems like they all do want to fight each other. I think all the guys do want to go out there and they do want to go and try and make themselves, legacy fighters, beat the best guys, all that type of stuff. Ryan Garcia, Gervonta Davis, all that type of stuff is, you know, we want to see these guys compete with one another and figure out who the best one is. And so I was thrilled to see this fight was going to happen, especially because I don't know how much Lopez is long for this division. It seems like this was going to be the last one and go. I get all these fighters wanting to make a ton of dough because I'm for that. I'm a little bit, you know, and I talked about this very much with the UFC position where, you know, I was the numbers were never going to be bigger, and these UFC fighters, their numbers are purely the stars. Their numbers that are with pay-per-view are huge. It's a big deal for them. So with boxing, it was going to be a little bit different because you have a lot of these guys who have big guaranteed purses. A lot of these times, these pay-per-views, they're not as good as what they're all cracked up to be. They all think that they're going to be monster pay-per-views, and they're really not. I would say the one that's kind of done the best out of what they thought it was going to be was Errol Spence, Mikey Garcia. They were very pleased with what that did comparatively to what they probably thought it was going to do, just dipping their toes in the water, Fox getting into the game and all that type of stuff. And, you know, it turned out to be a really successful commercial fight for them. Teofimo Lopez versus Vasily Lomachenko. You know, for one, you know, Lomachenko hasn't fought in a while. I do think that he had a lot of hot momentum going his way, especially when he first burst onto the scene with ESPN and people were seeing him fight. They got to see the crazy workouts. He was, you know, becoming, he had the nickname Nomachenko, but it has been a lot of inactivity lately. And I know it's been for a lot of guys, but even more so going back. And then with Lopez, Lopez is so young, like I do think that he's burst onto the scene pretty new. So the final offers, I guess, that were put forth with these guys, they were given something to the effect of, you know, a little over $3 million for Lomachenko, where Lopez and his side was getting just over $1 million. And there's no audience, obviously. They got to do this in a closed set. But, you know, I do think that they do have a couple things going for them. One, you know, if they were able to make this happen, you do have the benefit of being in this world where there's you know, people still looking for entertainment. Not everybody's going out. It's not at, you know, it's not as shut down as it was. It wasn't like when the first, you know, the UFC first burst onto the scene. And which, by the way, the UFC pay-per-views, I mean, they've reportedly been doing fantastic, even outside of the Jorge Masvidal one. So it does feel like, you know, it does feel like they're in a right position to hop into this thing and do a good pay-per-view deal. But, you know, if you know, part of their purse is linked to audience in regards to these fighters, where it's not with the UFC, I do think there is a little bit of a difference business side there. You know, they're not able to have these guys sell a huge gate in Madison Square Garden or something like that, because I think that would probably do pretty tremendous with these two individuals. But, you know, we're at a standstill right now. That can't happen. And I don't know, like we're still looking at things like, you know, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder and, you know, Canelo Alvarez, and trying to make these fights happen. And, you know, eventually you have to get these guys out there, and you do have to have the spite. You do, as a sport, have to pivot, and they can't all just be non-competitive, uninteresting fights. You do have to have big time fighters fight in competitive fights, even if an audience isn't able to participate. I don't know what the pivot is there for them to try and draw more revenue for their boxers. But from that standpoint, if it typically is one where, hey, you're used to making it off the audience and there is no audience, that does have to be some adjustment there. You know, they shouldn't get effed over. I mean, Lord knows too many boxers have been effed over. But that's never been a thing with the UFC. Like, that's just not been a case for those fighters. You know, you never heard about what those guys make as a person, all that type of stuff. That's why that pay-per-view stuff and those guarantees are so important to them. And I do think for Teofimo, like, this guy has the potential to be a big star. It's a very hard fight, don't get me wrong. Even though he's coming into it probably the naturally bigger guy, a guy who's probably got the punching power advantage. We've seen Lomachenko be susceptible to be put on the canvas before. And if you get this and you're at the age that he's at, you know, sky's the limit. It really is. I really, really do believe that for him. So I hope that something comes of this, because I don't want it to be a case where these guys are spinning their wheels and, you know, you end up in some of the cases of the most talented guys, but they don't fight anybody and nobody really gets to know anything about them. I think that what's more important than these guys' undefeated records than anything is we continually get to go and we get to see them fight. And I do think that you're seeing that in the bit with the UFC, where, you know, certain guys are going out there and they're putting on performances, and people are remembering the name. Like, they're going out there and they're like, all right, I'm down with that guy. That guy is going to be a place where he's in my mind as a fighter. He's a guy that I'm going to continue to fight, whether it be like somebody like Sugar Sean O'Malley, Khamzat Chimaev, all these guys. Like, they're getting these opportunities, and people are remembering from the MMA side. I do think there's a spot in boxing where, like, I think, you know, it was good for like a guy like Shakur Stevenson to come out early and kind of be the guy who rolled out the red carpet for Top Rank, but there needs to be more of that. And they really do have to get their bleep together to what is it going to take to get these guys out in front of some people. Because, you know, we can't act like there's also plenty of fighters where they put on these big TV shows, and it's more important that they're on TV really than the audience. They're papering that audience left and right. There was an interesting little note this week where some people are speculating that Conor McGregor is hinting at a potential fight with Manny Pacquiao. There's some confusion that was going on this week because, you know, there was this Khamzat Chimaev who's blown up, and, you know, everybody thinks he's the next Nurmagomedov and that he's crushing fools. And, you know, he was putting out, you know, and so he's blown up and now his Twitter's going crazy and he's got Ali Abdelaziz on Twitter. So he's probably doing a lot of the trash talking for him, I'd imagine, to try and churn up a fight. I think we got to slow a roll on it a little bit. Like this guy, look, this guy just burst onto the scene. The UFC, you know, they love doing this with the sensations. And I think Khamzat's been was a fun watch. And that's a cool story that he goes and he wins two fights on Fight Island. He outstrikes somebody a gazillion strikes to two over two opponents. And that he's going to try, they're going to try and get him on the DC card and all that type of stuff. I think that's awesome. You know, I saw Dana White saying, oh, maybe this guy is good enough to beat Kamaru Usman. Let's slow our roll a little bit, you know, let's slow our roll when it comes to stuff like that. And slow bake him, you know, him and Sean O'Malley and all these type of guys, like that's supposed to be the next crop. And what they did with Edmund Shahbazyan and, you know, bringing those guys, giving them a little bit of a rub and a showcase, but like, you know, with his manager trying to call out Connor and Dana talking about, oh, and Dana saying that the Connor tweet was about, like, I accept. And then ESPN reporting, you know, Ariel Helwani spoke to Connor McGregor saying, well, no, it wasn't, you know, it's like, what are we doing here? So I just think that's, that they it's been a very cool story, but I would just like, I kind of just want to see him. I don't even care if it's against anybody next. Like, I just want to see the guy go out there and pancake somebody again. It would almost like a wrestling squash match, if you will. It doesn't have to be, against a top five contender. Like, there's no need for that. Like, I think that they are in this point where they can let the legend grow a little bit of him. I think it's been really fun and that, you know, maybe he will be the next big thing and maybe he will be the next Khabib. He's only 26 years old. So much time left, man. So much time to go forth with that. Apparently, to get back to it, so the Connor I accept tweet was reportedly actually in reference to Manny Pacquiao, because then he put out some tweets in Filipino, like I accept in Filipino, and that's been interesting. You know, the sweepstakes for Manny Pacquiao has been interesting. It was announced this week that Errol Spence, he was thought to be in the running for it. He's now fighting Danny Swift Garcia. They announced that. So one of the best welterweights on the planet is going to be back soon. Can't wait to see that fight. Danny Garcia, always a fun watch for sure. And from the standpoint of Manny, okay, there was some talk about maybe Terrence Crawford is in the mix. You know, does Crawford get a chance to go at him? Or does Manny do some kind of crossover fight with Connor? Look, I don't hate it. I gotta be honest with you. Some people will hate it, you know, will kind of crap on it and not want to see it. But, you know, to me right now, Connor's kind of without a path. There's not a great option for him. You know, like this week, Tony Ferguson threw out, I want to fight either Connor or Dustin. And who was the other guy that he threw out? He threw out one more guy. I don't want to shortchange what he said, but he had three biggest targets that he wanted to fight. He said that he wanted to fight either Connor, Poirier, and then he wants to fight the winner of Justin versus Khabib. And I do, you know, like, look, again, I've said this a lot with Connor. You put any Connor fight out there, I'm going to be into it. You know, the guy gets a little bit of a bad rap now because he's so famous of, oh, you know, never fights anybody, and Connor fights are overrated, all that stuff. No, they're always an event. They're always fun. Let's do it. I can't wait to see it. Him and Tony, that's been an outskirts thing. Like, Tony versus Khabib's always been the dream. We've seen Tony versus Gaethje. Gaethje pieced him up pretty bad. And I'm not going to say that I'm not interested in Tony versus Conor McGregor, but I do think that there's something to Tony versus Dustin that is just, I mean, it gets your onions burning a little bit as a fight fan. That, as violent as Tony versus Gaethje was, I almost feel like Tony versus Dustin could be another level. I really, really do. Look, Dustin's, I really believe this. He's the king of all of this stuff, of the king of chaos, the guy who goes out there and thrives in the violence more than anybody, more than Gaethje, because he's beaten Gaethje. Remember that it was the hell was the thing that they fought for? Was it the most violent belt? You know, the most violent man or something. It was like Eddie Alvarez versus Gaethje. Dustin's beating them both, man. Like, I think that it's one of those things where him versus Tony just, I think, is a home run fight. I'd even love if they did it on the card of Khabib versus Justin Gaethje. So just in case maybe one of them wasn't able to go out there, you do have a swap in right there if possible. But, man, I love that fight. And so for his con, yeah, Tony's a great option for him for sure. And if he beats Tony, that's bar none a fight that gets him a title fight and a deserved title fight. Doesn't seem like Conor's any interest to fight Dustin Poirier because of how easily he beat him at featherweight. Other than that, I don't know what's out there for him. I really, really don't. I thought Masvidal was the perfect fight for him if he was going to make the jump to 170, if Masvidal had won the welterweight title. And I still believe that. That's still one that could happen, but I would think they should wait to see if George is able to go and win the welterweight title. If he's able to go win the welterweight title, all right, then we'll go have a conversation about it. But Jorge seems more locked in on fighting Kamaru, which is great. The fight did great business, so maybe they do it again and you do the whole full training camp thing. Or maybe he has to go fight somebody else, but I just feel like, you know, the he's already shown Jorge that he doesn't need Conor McGregor right now to be a hugely successful star. And that is awesome for him. You know, he kind of can march to his own drum. And that's tremendous. Like, he really could go fight Leon Edwards, or he could fight Colby Covington, or he could fight a rematch of Kamara, or, you know, maybe he's the one who could lure GSP out of retirement. Who knows? He really could. Nate Diaz fight again. Nick Diaz. You know, he could put all this stuff that's out there, because he's a legit pay-per-view star right now. There's very few in the game who can headline and say they could draw a million pay-per-view buys, and now he's one of those who can do that. So he doesn't really need Conor, and Conor doesn't really need him. So my roundabout way of saying all this is, I don't know if there's a perfect MMA opponent for Conor right now. Khabib and Justin Gaethje are going to fight each other in October. So what's he supposed to do? Why not fight Manny Pacquiao? Be a huge event. Do a ton of pay-per-view. You know, like, and I just think that I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think it's an all-action fight. I don't think Conor's going to win. I still think that he gets smoked by Manny Pacquiao, but man, I just think it's a fun visual. I think that it'll be a little interesting to see how Conor goes at Manny Pacquiao, because Manny is not, you know, he's not going to jaw him back and forth like him and Floyd did. But I do think there's more of an element of Manny's been knocked out before. Manny's dangerous. Manny's a little bit more dangerous to go knock him out in a stunning fashion, as is Conor to knock him out, because he has been put on the canvas before. So I like it. I got to be honest with you. Like, out of these crossover fights that we put forth, that one interests me. A lot of the times, the ones that actually don't interest me right now are Floyd fights. You know, just because it's just not that thrilling. Honestly, you know, the Floyd Conor fight was one of the more the most fun Floyd fights we've had in a long time. So maybe they could do that again. But I think that I think right now, just because of the timing of things, I wouldn't hate doing a Conor Manny fight. And look, you know, as great as it is for these welterweights who want to fight Manny Pacquiao has done so much in the fight game and done so much for boxing. He really doesn't owe it to anybody in the sport to be just a name they build off of. All love to Terrence Crawford, and I love Terrence Crawford and the fighter that he is. Manny doesn't owe it to Terrence Crawford to go and fight him just so Terrence can build his name off of him. This isn't WWE. Manny's paid his dues and then some. You know, honestly, I feel the same way about Floyd Mayweather. I feel the same way about all these legends. I don't feel like they owe anything to these young fighters to go and fight them just so they can build a name. You know, if you want to build your name, go fight on the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones card and see if that helps build your name. But I don't hate Conor McGregor versus Manny Pacquiao. I think it'd be kind of cool. We're back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. A couple of other boxing notes, because we were talking about the welterweight division a little bit. I do want to update you on this. So, yeah, I mentioned Errol Spence, Danny Garcia. That looks like it's going down in November. November 21st, the two will be taking on each other. Fox pay-per-view. I think that's going to be a fun fight, man. I think it's going to be a fun fight. I do favor Errol Spence to go get the win. I guess the only thing that we didn't really need to, you know, the thing that would have been concerning is, you know, he just had that, you know, dance with fate with his crazy car crash, you know. But man, I got to tell you, I'm not going to lie. I do get a bias for guys that I see live and in person. And I didn't, you know, I was so off on Errol Spence because I remember going into that fight thinking, I thought Mikey Garcia was going to box his socks off. I thought Mikey Garcia didn't have any weaknesses, and I knew that he was taking up a big leap in size, but I'm never, you know, sometimes I think in boxing it's a little oversold. I thought that Mikey Garcia brought the better skills, and what we saw in that fight, and I saw this from ring level about, you know, 10 yards back from the ring, I was just so impressed by what Errol Spence brought to the table. And I don't know who I see beating him in the welterweight division. Maybe Terrence Crawford, for sure. I'd love to see it. Don't know if we're ever going to get it. But I really, this is a fun fight. I'm looking forward to it for sure. And we'll see, we'll see that one coming up in November. And I'm glad that, you know, even if there isn't going to be a case where there's going to be a crowd, who knows, it is going to be November. I guess it's kind of a wild card for right now. I think it's smart. I think it's smart. Big time boxers, put them on pay-per-view and make a lot of noise that way. I think it's great. There's also reports that Terrence Crawford, speak of the devil, he is going to be fighting in November as well. They were talking about the 14th, the 21st. Obviously, if Spence is fighting on the 21st, Crawford's not going to do that. I do think that Spence is a little bit of a bigger name, so I think that'd be kind of stupid. But I do think it is smart that they fight around the same time, because then maybe we could talk about, okay, them being on a collision course to fight one another. The quotes coming out this week were not fantastic about him and Pacquiao actually happening. There's a lot of heat. There was some heat this week between him and Gary Russell Jr. and Gary Russell saying that he'd like to, you know, come way up and wait and to fight him. You know, I don't hate it. I think it's, you know, it'd be at least one of the most one of the best names on his resume. So I think that'd be a fun bout to do between them if they could make it, even if Crawford is coming in there with a great size advantage, a great strength advantage, and if they have this heat. I think one of the things that's good is Crawford is such a silent assassin, and it's so hard to really, like, get him going. If you could get anybody who could poke the bear and show that side of him, because he's very violent in the ring, like, he'll go and take your soul in the ring, but, you know, it's hard to get that persona to come out for him. So if somebody could make that case, somebody could get that to rattle a little bit, I think that would be a lot of fun. As far as what's coming up next week, as in the UFC, you got next week, you got Derek Lewis, the Black Beast. He is going to be taking on Alexei Oleinik, who is the ageless wonder. He just had his fight where he demolished Fabricio Werdum, which I don't know how much you want to MMA math what stuff is going down, but hey, look, he looked fantastic in that fight. Thought Fabricio Werdum did not look like himself. Not trying to take away credit, I just don't think that he looked tremendous in that fight. Question is going to be with this one is, if you're Alexei Oleinik, like, do you even want to try and engage in a slugfest with Derek Lewis? And then, you know, if Derek gets into one of those positions where Alexei's going for a submission and ends up in a rough spot, like, you know, could it make for a really ugly fight and he has to come up with one of those haymaker Hail Mary bombs to get himself out of it? It's always a question with Derek. It's going to be a fun fight week lead up, I'm sure, because he's always great with that type of stuff. You know, he's got a couple straight wins, so he gets this in. Maybe he, you know, he can climb his way back into the title picture. Don't forget, he does have technically a win over Francis Ngannou. So, you know, and Francis is skyrocketing to the top of the division as well. And who knows what happens with the two main eventers that are coming up. So, yeah, I do think there's a lot of stake for him. I really, really do. Chris Weidman's also going to be in the co-main event against Omari Akhmedov. So you'll see the former middleweight champion in action as well next week. I think actually the fight that I'm probably the most excited about though next week is on Bellator, which I haven't been saying much because, you know, definitely have been giving Bellator, you know, it's been tough because Bellator actually hasn't been in action very much. They just started up last week, but I haven't been thrilled with what they've had over the last year, year plus, even if we were to go back into 2019, where I thought they had a lot of momentum for a little bit there, especially with some of the young guys that they had in there. I did watch last week's card. Wasn't tremendous. Sergio Pettis looked good. I did, you know, and the one thing I didn't love is that Aaron Pico, who I think is, you know, one of their bright young stars, even though he's had some real rough patches to the start of his career, is, you know, I feel like they're going to turn him into an overly cautious fighter and not as exciting, even though, and it's like they're praising that too, which is weird. Like they, like they're coddling Aaron, like, you know, Aaron, you know, good for you, Aaron, you fought smart, you didn't fight dumb. And it's like, well, yeah, but his fights were fun, man. Even if he did lose, I mean, they were thrilling. But you got yourself an awesome main event. Michael Chandler, Ben Henderson are going to be taking on each other. Love watching, you know, I would say it's probably a contrast of one of my least favorite fighters to watch in Ben Henderson against one of my favorite fighters to watch in Iron Michael Chandler. I love watching Iron Michael Chandler fight, and I think this is going to be great. You know, he won the split decision against him back in 2016, so we'll see what comes of this one. It should be good. I think this is going to be a fun matchup. I'm going to be picking Iron Michael to get the win on this one. You also have on this card, you have Matt Mitrione taking on Timothy Johnson. So old Matt Mitrione will get to do a little bit of looking to bounce back and get things right for himself, because Matt hasn't picked himself up a win since 2018. So yeah, I think it's always good to see. It's always an interesting fight, fun fight week when you have that as well. And the other one that's going to be interesting, of course, we got the hometowner Valerie Lareda is going to be on the card. So if you guys are looking for a hometown kick next week, you have the pride of the 305, Valerie Lareda, on the card, Taekwondo master. And she's going to be taking on Tara Graf, who is 1-1 in her career. Valerie 2-0 in her start, and it's been a while since she's been in the cage. So been dealing with some injuries and all that type of stuff, but she's been training like a beast in the pandemic. So should be good to see her in action. You guys can check that out next week if you guys are looking to get a little bit of a local tie. Bellator's got that for you next week. I know everybody's been talking about the pursuit of Paige VanZant. She made some news this week. Apparently, there's been some rumors on Twitter that she's going to be fighting BKFC. I don't know how, you know, it's always tough with this, you know, with this damn BKFC, because they throw out such big numbers all the time, but you don't know how legit they are. She did tweet out a post on Instagram of, like, it was like her and her husband, and she was putting like money sign emojis as, oh, we don't have nothing to worry about now. Paige VanZant had posted on her Twitter account, keep those shades on, baby, because our future is bright. Wink of face emoji, dollar sign emoji, and sunshine emoji. And actually, funny enough, it looks like that she was in town recently, because she was training at American Top Team with Valerie Lareda. So that was kind of cool. So shout out to Paige VanZant for taking the South Florida visit. And if she does go to BKFC, that'd be kind of badass too. It doesn't sound like the UFC is very promising. They both sound like they were very publicly ready to break up. And which is a bummer, because I do think that Paige was a fun fighter to watch. I mean, she, you know, even the fights, once the arm breaking became consistent, it was getting a little bit rough to watch. But, you know, she did have some pretty thrilling knockout wins. And even in the losses, I mean, she was tough as hell. I mean, she had like crimson mask, fought with broken arms. She was tough as hell. So I think she's made, I know she's got a pretty face, but I think she's made for BKFC. Just that gnarly attitude. She's a pit bull, man. So we'll keep following what's going on with PVC for sure. And then, of course, we got coming up next week, in just a couple of weeks, we have the heavyweight showdown between Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic. But we'll get to that throwdown when we get a little bit closer to it. Everybody have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much for tuning in to Fighters Fury. And we will talk to you guys same time, same place next Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.